I can't put that in one word. I don't think anybody here could put an expression in one word who he is to you, who he is to us, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
And I was just, I had a thought last night, and I opened up the computer, and I'm like, what does the word praise mean? What does the definition of the word praise mean? And the computer directly took me to the Hebrew word. What is the Hebrew word for definition of praise? It's not even defined in one word. There are seven different words for the word praise defined. Yeah. And I want to read these to you real quick. It says, yada means to extend, and the extended hand, to throw out the hand. The tauta is another word. It says the extension of the hand in adoration and acceptance. In the Psalms and other scriptures, it is used for giving God thanks for things not yet received, as well as things already at hand. That is amazing.
Yes, amen, amen.
Halal is the primary Hebrew word for praise, where we see hallelujah. It means to be clear, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to celebrate, and to be clamorously foolish. It's okay to laugh. We need to laugh in church more. We need to boast in God and laugh with a victorious laugh. Like, we have the victory that whatever the enemy said, whatever the enemy has been trying to torment us and taunt us all week, that is not going to stop me from praising my God. It is not going to stop me from lifting my hands. It is not going to stop me from shouting, from giving a dance, just showing my love towards him. Shabak means to address in a loud voice, to triumph, to exclaim, to shout. In Psalms 45:4, it says, one generation shall praise by every definition of the word Shabak, thy works to another, and to declare thy mighty acts. Barak means to kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration. I like this when it's used in scripture. It implies expecting to receive a blessing from the Lord. When I bow down, when a person bows down before a king, is to receive a blessing from the Lord. They laid out their scepter to accept and receive a blessing of acceptance. We bow down to receive what God has for us. Zamar means to touch the strings, referring to instrumental worship, which we do here today. In Psalms 150, it says, praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with a tremble and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Tehillah means to sing aloud. Psalm 22:3 says, God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. This kind of praise is where God dwells in.
Yes, Jesus.
If God can't be expressed in one word, how can we express our praise in one word and one action? But we have a chance and opportunity to love Him, to pour out our adoration to Him, to kneel before Him, to lift our hands, to clap, to make a joyful sound before the Lord as we get to do this in this place. Let's continue to worship the Lord and love Him in this place today.
The lion and the lamb. highest praise, joining the angels. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you'd like.
Hardly think as you call me.
Meaning, and I'm not like trying to have a pity party or anything, but my father, my earthly father, has been pretty non-existent all my life. So the revelation, if you will, for lack of a better word, that he is my father, that protective, he's got me, he holds my world, is there is a peace in that that is so unexplainable.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful for his unconditional love, for loving me, for caring for me, for loving you, for caring for you, for knowing how many hairs are upon my head. I'm so grateful to know him, grateful to have my heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're a good, good Father. I love your name. I'm grateful for your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thinking about what to say after. I'm speechless. God has been so good to me. I don't know what to say sometimes. I'm just, the only way that I can.
Every praise.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are going to take some knees of the Lord in prayer. I would ask you to remember both the Caleb family, the Piles family. They are traveling this weekend away. That's the way it is in the summer. You take the opportunity, get some time away, and so they're doing so, and want to pray God's traveling mercies upon them. And Sister Day, I see that there are a few requests in regards to your family, so I'm going, rather than mess it up by attempting to read it, why don't I allow you to just express those requests to the church, if you will.
Alrighty. My husband's mother is in Hillside Rehab, and I have no idea how long she'll be there. I don't think it will be very long, but then she'll be released to home, and we need to make some decisions there. I just don't see how she's going to be able to live alone anymore. So please remember her for her pain and the transition that we're going to have to make here. We need God's wisdom in that. And also, the Lucases, who are in Japan, their daughter-in-law in California is trying to deliver their second child. And the complications are that she had an appendectomy about 4 weeks ago. And so she's trying to deliver naturally. There's dangers with that. And so she tested positive for preeclampsia, and that's why they're inducing labor now. She needs her prayers. It's a very kind of a touchy situation there. So please remember Amede Lucas. And also my brother-in-law who pastors in Bourbon, Indiana, Mark Cottrell, very ill, took suddenly ill last night with terrible vertigo, and he cannot be in his pulpit this morning. So please remember him also.
I know there are other requests and needs here in the house. We're going to take these needs of the Lord in prayer. If you have a request, why don't you stand to your feet? If you have a request, why don't you show that by lifting your hand, Lord, knowing the need, the situation, the circumstance there. And as we pray, it is always proper, is right. If you would like to be anointed and prayed for, we would ask that you would come forward as we begin to pray, and we will do just that, anoint and pray for you as the Bible instructs us to do. But why don't we go to him right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you in our time of need, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, we can beseech your throne of grace. God, we thank you, Lord, for your mighty power at work in our midst. God, we thank you, Lord, that you desire to heal, to help, to manifest yourself in us and through us. Lord, for those that are traveling away, God, we pray that you would be, your peace would be upon them, your mercy would be upon them, Lord. Send angels to encamp around about them as they travel. Bring them back safe, Lord, that we would have opportunity once again to worship with them. God, we thank you, Jesus, for those that are sick in body. Lord, we know that you are a healer. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for who you are and what you do. You are so good, Jesus. You are so good, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, God, dealing with situations and circumstances in the family, God. We need you to provide direction and help and strength, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus and Lucas family, God, in the delivering of this baby, Lord, let your hand be upon the process, God. Guide the physicians, God, the medical staff. Give them wisdom, God, in dealing with this situation, Lord, for Brother Cottrell. Lord, we know that you are a healer, God. We thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you, God. In the precious name that is above every name, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands on the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, why don't you grab your Bibles? I want to say before we get into the reading of the Word what honor and privilege it was to go and be in Illinois District Camp Meeting Thursday and Friday nights. Brother Sam Emery, pastor of Merced, California, brought a wonderful word both nights. I have been enriched. I was thinking this, you know, it shouldn't be amazing, but it's because it should be the understanding that it is the way things happen. There are some times that when I go before the Lord to ask Him what He would have me to say and feel in the Spirit where He would lead me to preach. There are some times that my humanity, maybe carnality, I just don't seem to really find the vein very fast. I struggle to what I feel is the will of God and the mind of God. But last night, as I was listening to some of the sermons that I was not able to be a part of at the Illinois District Camp, ministry of Brother Scott Graham, who is one of my favorite preachers, if you will. He has impacted my life numerous times with the messages that God has given him. And as he just mentioned a passage of Scripture in his message, that passage resonated with me, and I went to that passage. I actually stopped listening to the sermon at that point because I just felt that that was the word that I needed, and so I paused the CD that I was listening to. I went to the passage of Scripture that he just quoted in his message, and as I began to think upon this, and the Lord just began to fill my mind. And so I come to you this morning with what I feel is assuredly a word from the Lord. And I hope and trust that it will enrich your lives and that it will encourage you as it has encouraged me. Exodus chapter number 33. Begin reading in verse number 12. Exodus 33, begin reading in verse number 12. I'll give you a few moments to find it. If you're there, can you say amen? Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he, the Lord, said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he, Moses, said unto the Lord, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." The Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Draw your attention back to verse number 15 of Exodus 33. The dialogue between Moses and the Lord. The Lord tells Moses, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And this is Moses' response to the Lord. Can I paraphrase it? "That's good, Lord. Because if your presence doesn't go, if your presence goes not with me, then I don't want to leave here. If thy presence doesn't go, then I'm staying right here." With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. If thy presence go not. If thy presence go not. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for these people that are gathered here this morning to hear your word. God, I pray that you would anoint me as nothing but a vessel, God, an oracle of your choosing to give unto your people what you have given unto me. Lord, I pray that we would all leave here enriched, God, greater, God, following you, God, in your will, in your way. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. if thy presence go not. It is important for us to understand the backdrop of this passage wherein we just read. The children of Israel have made the great exodus from Egypt. They are now camped in the wilderness. They are waiting on Moses to come down from the mountain, Mount Sinai, with a message from the Lord. In their impatience with the process, they decide to create their own deity, and with gold taken from Egypt, they have Aaron make a golden calf to which they sacrifice and worship. Exodus 32:1 reads like this, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Up, Aaron, make us gods to go before us. Aaron, we don't know what has become of Moses, but we want gods to go before us. We want something to worship, Moses, something to which we can attribute our past deliverance and our future conquest. Aaron, we need for you to make us gods to go before us." We don't know what's happened to this man Moses. No, undoubtedly he was a man of God. He did miracles. There were signs and wonders. But we don't know what's happened to him. He's tarried long in the mountain, and we might think he might be gone. And so, Aaron, make us gods to go before us. Meanwhile, on the mountain, the Lord speaks unto Moses and tells him, "Go down. The people have committed iniquity. The people are doing unjustly. They're committing unrighteous. Go down, Moses. Go down and deal with this situation. How quickly they have turned to idolatry. Go down, Moses, and deal with the people." And Moses makes his way down the mountain. And many of us know the story as he looks upon the people and their festivities as they dance in their nakedness and they sacrifice and worship to this image that they have made. Moses takes the tablets upon which God has written the Ten Commandments, and he takes the tablets and he smashes them. He throws them down and they break to pieces. Moses, in his anger, goes down in the midst of the people and he takes the golden calf, the Bible tells us, and he grinds it into powder and he spreads it upon the water and he makes them drink of it. He tells them that what they have done has sorely displeased the Lord, and he tells them, I have to go back up into the mountain to make atonement for your sin. I've got to go back up into the mountain and talk to God to see what he would do unto you." Moses makes his way back into the mountain. The Lord tells Moses, the Lord says, I'm going to go down and I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to wipe them from the face of the earth, and I will make of you a great nation. I will make a nation out of you. And Moses falls on his face before the Lord and says, "Oh, Lord, don't do this thing that you have purposed to do. What will the Egyptians say? What will the other nations say that you have brought them out here to slay them? Lord, don't do this thing." And the Bible says at the beckoning of Moses that the Lord repents of what he was going to do to the children of Israel. Moses goes as far to say, "If you blot them out, Lord, then blot me out." Some weeks ago, I preached a sermon entitled "The Power of the Righteous," and here is another great example of the importance of a man of God, how he steps in the middle and says, "Lord, don't do it. Spare them, O Lord." So the Bible says that the Lord says, "Okay, I'll spare them, but I will not go up in the midst of them anymore, lest I consume them." So we find that Moses then makes the tabernacle of meeting, the tabernacle of congregation, the Bible says, and he makes it without the camp, so that all those that would seek the Lord have to go outside the camp in order to go into the tabernacle.
So it is that as Moses makes his way, the Bible says, to the tabernacle, that the people would rise up in their tents and they would watch as the cloudy pillar representing the presence of God would descend under the tabernacle to talk with Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. Lord, I will not go up in the midst of him anymore. You have to make the tabernacle outside the camp. And so Moses does so, and the people stand in the door of their tents. They rise up, the Bible says, and they see Moses. They are so afraid that the Lord is so wroth with them that he will completely leave them. And so they stand in expectation that the cloudy pillar, which represents the presence of God, would descend and meet with Moses as he makes his way to the tent. And as they see the presence of the Lord, they see the cloudy pillar descend and make its way to the tabernacle to commune with Moses. The Bible says they worship. They're grateful. They're thankful. The presence of the Lord is still, though it's not in the midst of us anymore, it's still here. It's still meeting with Moses. And there, in the tabernacle of meeting there, the presence of the Lord speaks face to face with Moses. And thus we have the conversation of our text. That is the backdrop before where we read in the conversation that begins or ensues rather with Moses and the Lord. Understand this, Moses has already pleaded with God for the people to spare them. Moses, while he was on the mountain, intervened and interceded for the people that God would not destroy them. And now Moses makes some other requests. Now Moses, if you will, continues in the discussion concerning his credibility with God and says, Lord, I need some assurances. You've brought us out here. We're in the wilderness. We're camped here. But Lord, I need to know, what's the next move? Where do we go? What do we do? Please, Lord, show me your ways. Show me what you want to do. Show me how you want me to lead them. I've brought them out here like you said. I've done what you told me to do, Lord. I've brought them out here, and now we're in the midst of this wilderness, and I've given them the commandments that you gave me to give them, and I've given them all the instructions for making of the furniture in the tabernacle. I've gone over the law with them. I've read it before them, and now, Lord, I need to know, what do you want us to do? What's our next move? What's going to happen? And the Lord tells him, I'm going to send an angel before you into the land that floweth with milk and honey. And I'm going to drive out all the Ites and the Jezerites and the Pezerites and all the Ites that dwell in that land. And I'm going to take you and these people into that land. I'm going to go before you. But it's almost as if Moses once again intervenes and says, Lord, said you're not going to go in the midst of us anymore. Lord, you said that you're off with the people. Unless you consume them, you won't go in the midst anymore. And I'm thankful that you're going to send an angel. I'm thankful that things are going to happen for our benefit. But Lord, I need some assurances from you. Where are you going to be in the mix of all this? How is it going to work? What's going to be your play, God? And the Bible says that the Lord speaks unto Moses and says, okay, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. All right, Moses, you've negotiated once again. The power of the righteous is such that, okay, I'll concede, and I'll go with you, Moses. I'll be with you. I'll even lighten the load. I'll give you rest. What you've done and how you've been. You're like a friend to me, Moses, and so I'll make an exception, if you will, to what I previously stated. And so I'll go with you, Moses. I'll be with you and I'll give you rest. And then Moses makes this astounding statement. It is the focus. It is where I would draw our attention and from where I've decided to make a title. He says, if thy presence go not, then carry us not up hence. Lord, I know you've said all these things, and I know you've said an angel's going to go before us, and I know you said that there's a land that floweth with milk and honey, and I know, as you said, you're going to drive out all of our enemies, and I know you said that there's going to be great things in store for us, but Lord, you need to know from me, you need to know that my perspective is such that if you don't go with me, I ain't going. If your presence goes not up, then I'm staying right here. Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, then I'm not going. If thy presence go not up with me, then carry me not hence. Don't take us away from here if it's going to take us away from your presence. If your presence doesn't go, I'm not going. If your presence is staying here, then I'm staying here. Wherever your presence is, Lord, that's where I want to be. Thy presence go not up. Lord, don't carry us up hence. Catch what Moses was saying. Please understand the importance of what Moses is saying, what he is insinuating unto the Lord. He is simply saying, if being with you means wandering in this wilderness without ever having the milk and the honey, then so be it. If being with you means I don't go into that land and we don't drive out all the ites and we don't take out all the enemies, if being with you means that we stay here wandering in this wilderness, then so be it. If thy presence go not up, then carry us not up. Lord, I can't be away from your presence. I don't care how good it sounds or how appealing the prospect may be, if thy presence go not up. See, we've got to have the attitude and the resolve that Moses had. Lord, there is nothing more important to me than your presence. This meeting with you in the tabernacle, this speaking with you face to face as a man speaks unto his friend, there's nothing more important to me. There's no outside influence that would ever be enough. There's nothing that this world has to offer. There's no land that flows with milk and honey that is appealing enough to me to decide to separate from your presence. There is nothing in this world that can convince me that outside your presence is anywhere that I want to be. Lord, if thy presence go not, then carry us not up hence. I would that we would have that same kind of resolve in our spirit, that my direction and my decisions are predicated upon the presence of God. And if his presence is not there, it doesn't matter how bad I want it. It doesn't matter how deep the desire is. It doesn't matter how appealing it is to me. If his presence is not in it, if God's not in it, I don't want anything to do with it. How different our lives would be if we truly live that out. I dare say it would probably change some of the things we do. Maybe even some of the places we go. Lord, if your presence doesn't go, carry me not a pence. I don't want to go where your presence isn't. I don't care how appealing it is to me. I don't care how wonderful the world makes it seem. Lord, if your presence is not involved in it, I don't want anything to do with it. Lord, I'll go far as to say if being in your presence means that I stay in the current situation that I'm in. If having your presence means that I don't get to go into the land that floweth with milk and honey. If having your presence means I don't have a lot of the things that I think I might want to have. If that's the case, if having these things and getting these things would somehow lead me and steer me from your presence, Lord, don't let me have them. Keep them from me, because, Lord, there is nothing more There's nothing more important in my life than your presence. And Lord, if your presence go not with me, then carry me not up hence. Look at verse number 16. Look at the validation that Moses gives for why this is so important. Look at what Moses says. It's validation for why he would say the very thing that he said. If your presence go not up, if your presence doesn't go with us, Lord, then carry us not up hence. For Moses goes on to say, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? How else will people know that we are a people blessed and highly favored unless you go with us? How else will all the nations of the world understand that we are your people unless your presence is with us? So we need to understand something. I know it's important that we gather together, and I know it's important that we come and we sing, but there is something that trumps all of that. There is something that must be present in our midst, no matter who's here or what song is sung or what message is preached. There is something that is so important to be in our midst, and it is simply the presence of Almighty God. Because if people can't come into our service, and they can sit in our pews and go through our program, and they don't feel the presence of God, we are not being who we need to be. See, Moses says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How else are people going to understand? We are a special people unless your presence is with us. How else will we be able to be identified as your children unless your presence is there? See, there's something else that I realized in this passage of Scripture. For Moses says, how shall it be known that thy people have found grace in thy sight? You see, this helps me understand that the grace of God is directly proportional to His presence. Having the grace of God is about being in the presence of God. How many times have you heard it said, or maybe even said it yourself, but for the grace of God go on. Let me tell you what that old timer is simply saying. That individual that would make a statement like that, but for the grace of God. In other words, they're saying being in lockstep with His presence is what keeps me doing what I do. Being in His presence keeps His grace evident in my life. But for the grace of God go I. And the reason why I do what I do, and the reason why I live like I live, is because I'm interested in being in the presence of God, and I want His grace living in my life. So I understand that the grace of God is directly proportional to His presence. I will not, please understand this, I will not understand the grace of God without being in communion with the presence of God. Moses goes on to say this. Now, hold on to your hats. Buckle your seatbelts. Because this is the next statement that Moses makes. For he says, so shall we be separated. And thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Might I say this, separation shows I am more interested in His presence than I am in popularity. Separation shows that I am more interested in having the presence of God in my life than I am appealing to you. I knew it was going to get tight in here. Separation shows that I am interested in being in the presence of a holy God. How I conduct myself in all manner of conversation and living reveals what I think about the presence of God. So it is only right that 2 Corinthians Paul, in 2 Corinthians Paul would write and say, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You need to understand this. Separation does more than just separate me from the world. Separation separates me unto God. I know this kind of preaching is not popular in our day because we want to intermingle and we think that winning them somehow comes as a result of being like them. But oh, no. We need to understand that I'm interested in being in the presence of God. And the presence of God is not going to appeal to your flesh. But it will most certainly appeal to your spirit. And so if I try to win you over by the natural and by fleshly means and by being your buddy and going where you go and doing what you're doing, I will not put them in contact with the presence of God. But if I stay separated unto Him and allow His presence to work in my life, it will draw them. See, I'm more concerned about being received in the presence of God than I am about being rejected in the presence of man. I'll say that again. I am more concerned about being received into the presence of God than I am concerned about being rejected in the presence of men. Jeremiah, that great prophet. Israel, that great prophet that you read the book of Jeremiah and you think to yourself, does the man prophesy anything positive? I'm just going to be real with you for a few moments. It's dire. It's all about destruction and death. It's all about their destiny should they continue in the way that they are going. But you catch what the Lord tells Jeremiah. The instruction that the Lord gives Jeremiah numerous times as he begins his prophetic ministry and as he begins to approach the people, and I dare say, a people that he was not popular with. And the Lord numerous times tells Jeremiah, he says, "Be not afraid of their faces." I begin to think about that. I begin to dwell on that. Oh, why did you tell Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces"? Because the face, we know, facial expressions communicate a lot. People can tell me they're disgusted with me without ever saying a thing. People can give me a look, and we know they ain't happy. And the Lord said, "Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. Don't take into consideration that they look at you in disgust. Don't take in consideration that they smock and they mock and they smirk and they ridicule. Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. Don't let their ridicule, don't let them looking down their noses at you. Don't let their facial expressions convince you to steer away from what I'm doing in your life. Before you were in the womb, I knew you and I formed you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. So Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. You've got to get to the place in your ministry that you are more concerned with being received by God than you are being rejected by man. Let me just be real for a few moments. That's where most of us find ourselves, that we are very concerned whether or not we are approved of by men. Whether our associates and our friends and our even our family and our acquaintances, whether or not they approve of what I do and how I live. Listen, I love you. but I don't live for your approval. I care for you, and I pray for you, but I don't live, and I don't do what I do so that I'm approved by you. That doesn't mean that that your opinion doesn't matter. It just means it doesn't matter near as much as his. What it means is that I'd rather be in his presence than your presence. Oh, I know. I'm getting real now. You see, the reality is there's a lot of people who can't make that statement. Oh, they may say, oh, yeah, I love the Lord. But the reality is they don't love his presence enough to separate themselves from some situations and some from people in their life. They don't love the Lord enough to realize that that association that they have is steering them away from the presence of God. And if they could understand, wait a second, there's something about separation that says, Lord, I love you more than this person and this relationship and this situation. Lord, I love you more. See, look at verse number 18. If you will come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, then I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I want to be a child of God more than I want to be your buddy. I want to be a child of God more. I want to do and live what is appealing unto him more than I want to do and live what is appealing unto you. And unless what is appealing with you aligns with what is appealing to God, you and I don't have much common ground. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? Listen, if you want to fall in step with me, then you got to start agreeing that the presence of God is more important than anything else. And if the presence go not up, then carry us not a pence. If his presence isn't there, I ain't going. Oh, come on. You can go here. You can do that. Oh, come on. It's not really a big deal. It might not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. Because if where you're going would lead me away from the presence of God, I don't want to go. I love you, and I'll pray for you, and I'll be here when you get back. But you need to understand, if you're going somewhere the presence of God says, no, I don't go, I ain't going. Come on, there's a land that flows with milk and honey. There's conquest to be made. And look at the impatience of the people and where that got them. Aaron, make us gods to go before us. Oh man, we want to go into this land. Aaron, we don't know what's happened to Moses. He's been on the mountain for some time now. And we want to get the show on the road. We want to go. Aaron, make us some gods. Up, hurry, hurry. Make us some gods that we can worship. They can go before us because we're not okay with just staying here anymore. We want to be on the move. Might I say this in all seriousness? If I endeavor to make a move without making sure the presence of God is in it, I am destined myself for some destruction. I'll say that again. If I endeavor to make a move before I make sure the presence of God is in it, unfortunately, I've seen families lost because somebody didn't make sure the presence of God was going. Amen, oh me, it's so anyhow. And Lord, if thy presence hope not, and Lord, I don't want to go. You realize, I don't know if Moses completely understood, but I do know this, that Moses was a man that already understood. He already made the separation from Egypt. Catch this. He already decided. He had already chosen to suffer the affliction with the people of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible lets us know that. Moses had already made up his mind, Lord, I only want to go where you're going. And I only want to do what you're doing and what you're involved in. So think about the decision Moses made. I wander around in this wilderness for 40 years. Lord, if that's where your presence is, then that's where I'm going to be. I don't want to move unless your presence says move. I don't want to go unless your presence says go. I know it may be miserable. I know we may be wandering in this wilderness and finding sustenance is hard. And I know that the people are anxious, and I know they want to move, and I know that they want to go on to what lies before. But Lord, if your presence doesn't go, I don't want to go. If thy presence doesn't go, then Lord, I'm staying right here. Closing, you can stand to your feet. Might I say it this way? If I figuratively look up in my life and I do not see the glory cloud of God overshadowing it, I have made a misstep. If I, my walking with the Lord, decide to take a detour because it just seems like it's a shorter path to what I feel will be success, careful. Because you don't want to be turning right when His presence is turning left. Lord, if thy presence go not, staying right where I'm at. As hard as that may be to say sometimes, because you're there in the furnace of affliction, or you're dealing with a situation that is rather undesirable, and you don't really see an end in sight. Lord, I just want to be where your presence is. All the outside circumstances may be what they may. Because here's the thing, if we get the resolve in our spirit that says, if thy presence go not, then I'm not going, it doesn't matter what the outside influences are. It doesn't matter if they're good or if they're bad. It doesn't matter if the situation is positive or negative. I know this, as long as I am in lockstep with the presence of God, as long as I am doing what He would have me to do, I am being led of the Spirit. And I am placing myself in the presence of God and saying, Lord, where you go, I go. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You've called me, Lord, I'll answer. I know I've heard it stated, and I don't mean to cross anybody's theology or mess with your opinion, but I've heard people say, well, there's the perfect will of God and there's the permissible will of God. Maybe so. But if that's the case, where's the presence of God? I want to be where the presence of God is. I don't want to do something that's just permissible. I want to do something that's in lockstep with the presence of Almighty God. I want Him to order my steps in His Word. I want Him to lead me, guide me every day. I want to know that the glory cloud of the Lord is upon me. I want to know that we can meet together in the tabernacle and talk together as a man speaketh unto his friend. I want the presence of the Lord. I want other people to look out with anticipation out of the window of their own life and look and see that I'm still in lockstep with the presence of Almighty God. I don't ever want them to see me stray from the presence of God. If thy presence go not, and carry us not up hence, don't let us leave this place, even if it means staying here, even if it means a dry and desert place where I'm having trouble finding sustenance. Lord, if that's where your presence is, I'm going to stay right here until you say move. Over this house, if you feel comfortable doing so, why don't you lift your hands? Can we, with the faith and assurance that His way is always the right way, that His way is always the best way, Lord, if thy presence go not, because the reality is that sometimes His presence will carry you into great deliverance. And then there's sometimes where His presence will carry you into the valley of the shadow of death. There are sometimes that His presence will take you into the midst of a miraculous conquest and victory. And there are some times where His presence will carry you away and set you in the middle of a valley of dry bones. And will you speak unto the wind? Will you not be so uncomfortable and so decided in your own mind? And you will not do what God has asked you to do. Speak under the wind, prophesy under the wind, Ezekiel. My presence has carried you, and if you don't remain here doing what I've asked you to do in my presence, you'll never see the exceeding great army that I have for you to see. If thy presence go not, carry us not a pence. Oh, the power of the Holy Ghost is in this place. The Lord is speaking to hearts right now. Be careful in your considerations, because if my considerations and my contemplations somehow circumvent the will of God, I am in very dangerous territory. And those things that I now have and treasure, and those blessings that God have bestowed upon me, I may place them in jeopardy because I pull them outside His presence. Lord, I want to be where your presence is. And if your presence has me where I don't want to be, Lord, help me not to give in to my flesh and my mind. Help me, Lord, to feel after you in my spirit, God, that I would see there's a reason, there's a purpose for your presence having me here right now. There's a reason. And Lord, I'm not going to move until you say move. I'm not going to go until you say go, because if thy presence go not, carry me not a pence. Why don't you begin to cry out on the Lord right now? His spirit is moving. He's talking to hearts and minds right now. Listen, don't you pray and ask God to bless something that His presence is not in, because you'll ask amiss. I'll say that again. I don't know who this is for, but don't you pray and ask God to bless something that His presence is not in, because you'll ask amiss. and you'll frustrate yourself, and doubt will enter into your heart, into your mind. I don't know who this word is for, but this word is for somebody. You're praying for God to bless something that His presence is not in, and you need to come before Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent that I tried to detour things. I'm sorry, Lord, that I tried to do things based upon my own mind and my own rationale. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent before You, and I want to reaffirm that if Your presence goes not, carry me not a pence. Lord Jesus, His presence is here. His presence is here to lead you and to guide you. Don't think that when you walk out these doors that you're somehow free and you have the liberty to just go and do as you would have to do, and it's not going to have an effect upon you and your family. It most certainly will, because if where you're going and what you're doing is not involving the presence of God, you are setting yourself up for failure. What you're doing is going to have a negative effect upon you and your family. You need to come back in lockstep with the presence of God and say, Lord, if Your presence goes not, then carry us not a bit.
Strip everything away.
Till all I have is You.
Undo the veil.
Till all I see is You.
Strip everything.
Lord, if I've got attachments in my life that are pulling me from Your presence, Lord, help me sever those attachments. God, if I have things going on in my life and I'm a party to things, Lord, that have the potential of pulling me from Your presence, Lord, help me to uproot, help me to cast them out, Lord, help me to get rid of them, Lord, because being in Your presence is everything to me. Altars are open if you'd like to come and pray.
So do not have.
I know it seems like a long walk from the pew to the front, but you need to know it's identifying that I am interested in being involved in the presence of the Lord. Lord, lead me, guide me. Where You lead, I'll follow. Where Your presence is, Lord, that's where I want to be.
So do not pass me by.
I don't want to try to find blessing, Lord. I just want to get in Your presence, because there blessing will be. Lord, I don't want to try to find my own way and what's right for me. I just need to get in Your presence, and You will lead me in the way that is right for me. Thank you.
I just want to be where His presence is. I want my pursuits and my aspirations in life to be aligned with the will of God, that I would be where His presence is. Lord, if Thy presence goes not, carry us not a pence. Lord, if I go without You, if I make a move without Your presence, Lord, I'm setting myself up for problems. I'm introducing into my life some things, Lord, that will have disastrous effects. I want to pursue Your presence, Lord. I want to be where You would have me to be and do what You would have me to do, Lord. Oh, Jesus. If Thy presence go not, then carry us not of hence. Oh, the power of the Holy Ghost is present in this place. I would that we would not hurry past this point, that we would allow the Holy Ghost to continue to move and talk to hearts. I don't do this for effect. I don't just get all emotional for emotion's sake. I do because I'm so consumed with being involved in the presence of God. Lord, I want to be so involved in Your presence, marinated in You, Lord, that it flavors everything in my life, God. I want Your presence to have preeminence in everything that I do. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. All over this house, why don't we lift our hands and lift our voice? Why don't we thank the Lord for His word? The ministry of the Spirit, Lord, thank You, God. Thank You that You still speak, Lord, that You hear, God, the questions of the heart, God, that You know the wrestlings, God, that we endure, God. You know the situations and the circumstances. You know the choices and the crossroads we approach in life. And, Lord, You do not leave us confused. Lord, You let us know exactly what You would have us to do. You lead us, God. In Your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands before the Lord? Why don't you applaud Him and give Him acclamation? We praise You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. Thank You, mighty God. Thank You, mighty God. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. It's always right and proper to pray. And please take in consideration if there are those praying, be respectful of that. But if you need to go, you may consider yourself dismissed in the precious name of Jesus Christ.